If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Julia Haller is ophthalmologist in chief of the Wills Eye Hospital in Philadelphia. We're about to talk about an implantable miniature telescope that improves vision and quality of life, suitable for individuals that are affected by the most advanced form of macular degeneration, AMD. And here is Dr. Mike Royson. Dr. Mike?
And this is a very common disease as we get older. I should introduce that Dr. Haller is the chair of the Wills Eye Institute of Jefferson Medical School in Philadelphia. I teased her because she has the most beautiful CV, meaning it is a perfect CV with all of the right schools and the right training. And she obviously was a star at each of those, because you don't advance to the next stage up this incredible ladder if you didn't star at each of those. So she is exceptional. And I said to her, I expect you to be chair of WILMA, which is at one of the other institutions, which used to, in my day, that is when I was involved in residency selection, a lot more be the outstanding institution. And she corrected me and said, well, Wills, which is where she is, passed WILMA this year in the U.S. News and World Report ranking. So we need to congratulate her on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let me ask you now, advanced macular degeneration, how common is this? How common is macular degeneration? And then let's talk about the two stages and then the end stage.
Great. Macular degeneration is the number one most common cause of decreased central reading vision in Americans over the age of 50. So unfortunately, it is a very, very common disease. The two stages to which you referred are commonly called the dry form. That's the earlier form of macular degeneration, where there is a progressive dropout in the central cells that we use to see. So it would, for people, the effect is somewhat like having a computer screen with progressively more pixels that have dropped out centrally. The wet form of the disease is the more severe form and accounts for almost all of the visual loss, the severe visual loss, the end-stage visual loss. And in the wet form, abnormal blood vessels with associated scar tissue grow into the central area of the retina, the central part of the visual field, and wipe out all the visual cells. So people end up with big central scars, so they can no longer read or recognize faces.
So normally, if you're a cardiologist, you want more blood vessels. But in the eye, where the nerves are, you don't want more blood vessels.
Exactly. Yes, so, you're right. It's counterintuitive for many people that you think you'd want more blood and oxygen there. But actually, these abnormal blood vessels, because they have a tendency to leak and bleed with hemorrhage in the central part of the retina and scarring, are actually disastrous.
Now, the early phase, and you said it's the most common form. How common is it, and how much do genetics or smoking play a role?
It's common enough so that right now there are 2 million Americans who have the very severe type of the disease, the wet form of the disease, and have significant central visual loss as a result. And the actual incidence in the population grows as people get older. So by the time you're up into your 60s and 70s, up to 10-15% of people have some evidence of macular degeneration. So it's very important to see an eye care provider to determine if you are at risk. You got to a very important issue just now in that question, because much of the disease is determined by our genetic makeup, which we don't have any control over. So if you have someone in your family, if your parents had decreased reading vision or had trouble seeing as they got older, that might mean you've got a genetic tendency towards macular degeneration. There are things you can do, though, because, for example, modifiable risk factors such as smoking. Smoking is a huge risk factor for macular degeneration. And as well, a good diet. We know that heart-healthy things in general are very good for decreasing your risk of developing the more severe forms of macular degeneration.
Now, the severe form, what you're on for, and the real reason we invited you was you're one of the lead surgeons at developing and doing the telescope procedure which can restore sight. You also did the retinitis pigmentosa chip, so we're going to talk about both of those. Tell us about this way of restoring sight with the telescope.
Well, this telescope is an implant. It's a prosthesis that goes inside the eye at the time of cataract surgery.
So it's as small as a pea, is that right?
It's about the size of a pea, yes. If you think of the size of your pupil, it goes behind the pupil in the exact same place that a standard intraocular lens goes in after cataract surgery. But this is a telescope rather than a lens, and it has the power to magnify exactly what you're looking at so that it projects what you're looking at in your central visual field onto adjacent healthier retina if you're missing that central field.
So instead of this vision being directed by your lens and cornea right back to the middle, which used to be we would consider where you'd get the best vision, because that's wiped out in advanced macular degeneration, this telescope, as you're describing it, projects it back to a little different area, that is a side area, where you still have good vision.
Exactly. It's like the telephoto lens of a camera, and it moves with the eye, so your natural eye movements are what you're using, but it makes use of adjacent healthy areas of retina to give you an extra boost in terms of visual acuity.
How tough or easy is it to put in? And if you think there are 2 million people with this advanced form, how many people will end up with this?
It's the implant procedure is very similar to cataract surgery. So it's done in a similar way. It's a little more complicated than a standard cataract operation, obviously, because the implant is bigger than the standard lens that's put in. And so there are not every cataract surgeon is going to be putting this in. It will be done at certain centers. There are currently over 40 centers around the United States, including ours in Philadelphia, which are implanting these devices. We estimate that about 500,000 people currently in the United States may be candidates for the implant. But to be sure, each individual patient has to go through a very careful screening process because, as you can imagine, having a telescope in one eye is something that takes some practice and some getting used to, and not everybody is a candidate for it.
Now, does the when we come back, we're going to talk about whether you can undergo, we just got an email, can you still have the same treatments injecting blood vessels to stop them from growing if you've got this in already? So when we come back, we'll talk about that and some more about prevention of this problem and even something about retinitis pigmentosa. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike. Dr. Julia Haller, one of the world's most renowned retina surgeons, as we discuss the issue of age-related macular degeneration. If you have a question for Dr. Mike or Dr. Haller, it's udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com, or 877-711-5211. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.